Thursday, 18 February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you're tuned into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We are right now in the book of Ezekiel chapter 8 and Revelation chapter 2. As God in Ezekiel chapter 8 would bring Ezekiel back and show him why he had to send his people, the children of Israel, children of Judah, into captivity. And these letters to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 explains us what happened and would happen and has happened during the church age. Of course, these letters were to seven actual churches, but I believe they represent a different phase, each one of them a different phase, and they're in chronological order regarding the church age. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart, the hearts of all of our listeners, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, dear God, help us to be faithful to thee, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, many good things God said about the church, but the problem was that they had left their first love. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now, we were speaking about some of the indications that we're leaving our first love, losing our first love, when our hearts cool off toward the Word of God. We no longer want to listen to the Lord. That's how we hear from Him. We no longer want to talk to the Lord. We're not praying. We're not communicating with His body. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But we'd exhort one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. No, we ought not to be cutting out Sunday schools and Sunday morning or Sunday night and Wednesday night services. If anything, we ought to be intensifying these efforts, and even more so as we see the day approaching. Also, not only the matter of praying and reading our Bible and being in church, but one of the evidences that our hearts are cooling off with God is that we'll start robbing God. We'll turn our back on Him and not give to Him His tithes and offerings, and then our witnessing just kind of dries up. I'll tell you, there are several indications that we're getting into trouble. Along with this, on December the 24th, Christmas Eve, I saw this pass, that's Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2015. I saw this article on Newsmax, and it was entitled, Gallup, Percentage of Christians in U.S. Steadily Declining. Gallup said, you know, he conducts these polls. He said, percentage of Christians in U.S. steadily declining. Now, I want to read you this quickly. 3/4 of Americans identify with a Christian religion, down 5% from the number who did 8 years ago, a new Gallup poll shows. The survey, released on Christmas Eve, also found 20% of Americans have no formal religious identification, up 5% from 2008. There's been little change in the 5% of Americans who identify with non-Christian religion, the poll shows. The general trends in the data over the 8-year period are clear. As the percentage of Americans identifying with a Christian religion has decreased, the percentage with no formal religious identification has increased, Gallup editor-in-chief Frank Newport writes. According to Gallup, the percentage of Christians is highest among older people, above 80%, and gets smaller with each progressive younger age group. 62% of those 18 to 24 say they are Christians, while 31% say they have no religion. I know I have seen this in my own life. I have had the privilege now to be in the ministry a number of years, and certainly I have seen things change. We are blessed beyond words here at the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina, that we have such a wonderful spread of age in the church, from babies in the nursery up through folks like myself, just plain old folks, and all the ages in between. But we do not have the number of young adults that we used to have. That is percentage-wise. Thank God for those that we do have. Now, you say, well, what is the solution to this? Well, I know what the answer is. I know who the answer is. The answer is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I personally believe that until there is some type of crisis that comes into the life of this country. You say, well, preacher, we're in a crisis. We've been in a crisis. I know that's true. But for those of you like myself who remember World War II and how this country buckled down for World War II and the rationing and the things we did without and so forth, I'm simply saying this, not to say that we were any kind of martyrs, but we were all involved in it. The last several years, we've been involved in a lot of wars and so forth, but basically, the people who had children or young people, husbands or brothers or daughters and what have you, wives, that were in the military, they were the ones who were involved. The rest of the country just kind of went along its way. Now, that's just one area. What I'm trying to get at is this. I believe God's going to have to shake this nation before there is a real awakening. Our country has been in bad shape before. If you go back and read the history of great revivals in this country, go back to the Great Awakening and read through there, our country was in bad shape. It was. And then God moved, and he moved in a wonderful way. You know, God said, I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap and build up the hedge that I might spare the land, but I found none. The Lord also said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. For the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I'll have to confess to you, I don't pray like I should for laborers for the harvest. We ought to be praying that God would raise up a great men and women of his that would live for him and love him and stand for him and lead others to serve him. Oh, that God would grant in these last days, at least for a brief time, a real revival, a real awakening. We need to hear from heaven. I'll assure you that. So to the church at Ephesus, he said, the problem I have with you is that you have left your first love. May we not be guilty of leaving our first love. It's kind of like in a marriage. You know, sometimes our love flame just kind of runs up and down, does it not? It's not always as hot as it was at one time, and thank God it's not always as low as it was at some times in our lives, but it stays aflame. May God grant that not only would our love for Christ stay aflame, but that that flame will increase and that we'll not be guilty of leaving our first love. Now, we backed up a little bit for this to insert this in the church at Ephesus. We have also been looking at the church at Smyrna beginning in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 2. And you won't find one criticism of the Lord concerning the church at Sardis. I do not believe that everybody there was living perfectly, but this church was a suffering church, and they had stood for the Lord. And as we shared with you from the book of 1 Peter, the Bible says that we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which shall try us as though some strange thing happened unto us. I don't like suffering. I'm not Mr. Hero. A dear friend, I don't have a martyr's bone in my body, but I do want to be faithful to the Lord. I don't want to be like Peter. Peter said, Lord, though all men forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. And he turned out to betray the Lord. I know that in me, that is in myself, dwelleth no good thing. But I have a desire. I want to live for him. I want to stand for him. And we need to pray for one another that we will receive the grace of God that is sufficient to help us stand in these days of trial that lie ahead. Certainly, may God grant that we not become dropouts with what we're facing now. We would do well to consider the question that's raised in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? O God, help us. God, help us that we not grow weary in well-doing, realizing that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That was from Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Father, God, help us to stand. We need thee. May we come boldly into thy throne room of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of our need, and especially to stand. And having done all to stand, we pray in the name of that name above all other, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing, and may we not turn our back on the Lord and grow cold on him. as they did in Ephesus. God help us to stand like the folks did in Sardis. And on the next broadcast, God willing, we will be looking at and considering the message to the church in Thyatira. Please join us next broadcast if you can.